It was not silent on that stony hilltop almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus, the great rabbi in whom so many Jews had placed their hope for a political and military release from the oppression of the Roman Empire, as he breathed his last gasping breaths while nailed to a cross. His mother and the first women disciples sobbed loudly in crushing grief at the physical torture Jesus had endured. Now, I am sure if they could have, they would have placed themselves in between the soldiers' whips and fists and hammered spikes and their beloved Lord. But Jesus willingly exposed himself to the Jewish religious leaders' false testimonies and the wrongful criminal judgment of crucifixion. He did this out of deep love for both his torturers and all of us. This God-man was not blindsided and stripped of life. He gave it up willingly in the manner and timing God had chosen from the beginning of the world. He was still bringing hope to humanity, just not the version we wrongly thought would satisfy our souls. God brought the only hope which would last. If God himself faced death, the death that we deserve, buying us back from slavery to sin. Now, if you have become a follower of Jesus, you have heard these things before, and I know that we all rejoice in that truth. But if you have not been born spiritually again through faith in Jesus, the Easter story is probably still vague and confusing in your minds. That was the case for me until just after completing college. Easter was still bunny rabbits and prize eggs hidden all around our yard by my father. And Jesus was only for the religious people who seemed to have no sense of humor and still believed in what I thought were false myths. The only thing I knew about resurrection was that it was a word that I got wrong in the final round of my elementary school spelling bee. That all changed when the risen Jesus entered into my spirit, something many of you may also say is true for you. This morning, I believe that God would like us all to listen to the true Easter story once more. It is taken from the eyewitness record that we find in the Gospel of John, part of the most read, reproduced, accurate, and followed book in the world, the Bible. As the Bible passage is read aloud, we will also see a dramatic reenactment of the scenes that they described. So please watch it on the screens and ask God to help you understand its implication for you and the world around us.
After this, Joseph, who was from the town of Arimathea, asked Pilate if he could take Jesus' body. Joseph was a follower of Jesus, but in secret because he was afraid of the Jewish authorities. Pilate told him he could have the body, so Joseph went and took it away. Nicodemus, who at first had gone to see Jesus at night, went with Joseph, taking with him about 100 pounds of spices, a mixture of myrrh and aloes. The two men took Jesus' body and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices, according to the Jewish custom of preparing a body for burial. There was a garden in the place where Jesus had been put to death, and in it there was a new tomb where no one had ever been buried. Since it was the day before the Sabbath, and because the tomb was close by, they placed Jesus' body there. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they have put him.
Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture, which said that he must rise from death. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb. And saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her.
"They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him."
Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus.
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?"
She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him,
"If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him."
Yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God."
So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came, stood among them.
"Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you."
Then he breathed on them.
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
If this is true, an invisible, eternal, spiritual reality is the root of all that we experience here on earth. If this is true, the beauty we now see, stars, oceans, smiles, courage, laughter, the intricacies of our bodies and minds, craftsmanship, love, are only a shadow of God's infinite beauty. If this is true, God has shown us all his purifying love and path into marriage with him. Yes, I did say the word marriage. Our human understanding of a union between a husband and wife. He originated that relationship so that we might grasp what it means to become his bride. If this is true, over 2 billion Christians in the present age, and many more before this age, are our fellow brothers and sisters. If this is true, we live not for the next thrill, accomplishment, event, paycheck, shopping adventure, conquest, wardrobe upgrade, meal, or movie, but for the glory and pleasure of God. If this is true, our deepest fears, disappointments, and tears have been transformed by God, by the one who took them to the grave, and in rising again from death, has washed our lives absolutely clean. If this is true, death has been defeated forever, and eternal life is ours to receive when we give over everything into Jesus' nail-pierced hands. If this is true, religions which exist outside of the worship of Jesus are deadly lies and involve the worship of demons, because there is only one true God, and these false religions will lead to death. If this is true, all human efforts, accomplishments, and desires expressed outside of faith and love for Jesus will ultimately amount to nothing. If this is true, all that we see in the material world, cars, homes, clothes, books, institutions and governments, church buildings, knowledge, relationships with family and friends, the sky, mountains, the seas, will all fade away, and only that which is born again of God will continue. If this is true, the Holy Spirit is present right now, here, to fill and direct our lives with a laser-focused calling unique to each Jesus follower. If this is true, the evil schemes of warlords, terrorists, human traffickers, murderers, adulterers, thieves, liars, and the immoral will be brought from darkness into the bright light of God's day and ultimately crushed. If this is true, love has a name, and that name is Jesus. If this is true, the dying, the oppressed, the ill, the orphan, the widow, the childless, the lost, lonely, suicidal, the addict, the demonized, may all have hope like an anchor which will never drift away. If this is true, those with diseases or disabilities will be healed in this life or in the next. If this is true, we can give away all that we have to the poor and take up the cross of Christ until we die and fall forward into his eternal arms. If this is true, the Bible was given by Jesus and is our most important nourishment. We may starve physically, but with this word to fill us, we will never again be hungry. If this is true, we may have real peace today as we ask Jesus to forgive us and rule in our lives. If this is true, it explains why Christians throughout the ages went to their deaths claiming that they had experienced the living Christ and refusing to renounce him. If this is true, it explains why so much of human creativity in music, film, art, and writing echoes spiritual longing, yet is manipulated by Satan through distortion, greed, lust, or coveting to drive our senses away from God. If this is true, when we see cherry blossoms, thunderstorms, and the sky alight with fire at sunrise and sunset, we are not dispassionate observers of art, like viewing a painting at the Smithsonian. We personally know the artist, the creator of life. If this is true, it explains why after meeting Jesus over these many, many millennia, Jesus has led hundreds of millions of Muslims, Jews, Hindus, atheists, agnostics, materialists, and political devotees. He's led them to turn away from empty beliefs and led them to kneel down in worship of him as Savior from sin and Lord of their destiny. If this is true, thousands of years of prophecy were fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And all the prophecies about the soon to come end of our world will be fulfilled. If this is true, every human on earth will die and be separated from all the goodness, love, and joy of God forever, unless we turn and put our full belief in Jesus. Even if we have fed the hungry, were a good mom or dad, a top student, designed beautiful art or buildings, or lived a quiet life of integrity, unless we turn to Jesus and allow him to overcome our sin, we will be doomed. If this is true, Jesus will come again very soon, and he will peel back the sky from horizon to horizon. He will bring his beloved bride to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and we will drink from the waters of life and eat from the tree of life. If he is true, and you have already placed your trust in Jesus, or if you would like to, right now, I'm going to invite you to stand right now, publicly acknowledge your decision to have already followed him or to decide now to follow him. Would you stand? Say these words after me in your own language, out loud. I love and believe in only you, Jesus. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Thank you for the truth of the resurrection. And the fact that because you have risen, I too will rise from death to eternal life. Make me a servant and light for your kingdom. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, this is true because you have demonstrated that it is true. Your life has transformed billions of people from that time of your rising from the dead until now. You have shown miracle after miracle, but most of all, you have shown us love is possible. Love overcomes all evil. We thank you, Lord, for every person here who has trusted in you already. And Lord, for those who have placed their faith in you for the first time today, we ask that you would guard them as you would guard a seed dropped into fertile soil. Protect it from weeds and thorns. Nurture it with water of your word, the sunshine of your Holy Spirit. Help them to grow to be all they were meant to be. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Richards. Yes, all that is true. Jesus is God and God alone. He came into the world to tell us that he loves us, and he wants us to know him and to follow him all the days of our life. And because he's true, let us also be true